Good morning, people, church, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful that we are here together to hear what God has to say today. I'm humbled to have this opportunity to talk about His Word. The Holy Spirit is like nothing we can compare. There are analogies that have been said about the Holy Spirit, how you want to find a way to describe it. There's nothing that we can compare. And I have been reading a book called The Forgotten God, and I had been feeling this desire to know more about the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we talk about the Father, we talk about the Son, but the Holy Spirit is like forgotten. And so, and I found in this book about analogies that want to describe the Holy Spirit. And I found this, that there is nothing that we can compare the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. If we could explain the Holy Spirit, then we'll stop being God. And he had no limits. So this morning, I'm excited about the thought and knowing that I am part of this wonderful moment of God in the world, in the church, in you, and all of us. Are you excited? From the scripture, we understand that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit moves in the world to accomplish the Father's will. We just heard many things that were happening in the convention. I was so excited. All these services, like, oh my, it's just, I feel like so excited, so blessed. It's like the Holy Spirit is right here. It's moving. I know you can sense it, but I can sense that He's here, and He's in us. So the Holy Spirit moves to accomplish God's will. In Ephesians 1:18-20, you can find it. I don't have to find it right now or read it, but I had the joy to bring you the story story that we just read, how the Spirit, Holy Spirit moved in the church, in the early church. And I'm convinced that He still moves in our midst. And in the world today, we can hear stories and testimonies of what God is doing around the world and close to us and people that we know Him. And sometimes you hear stories of people that what God is doing, miracles that God is working, and how God is using His church to intercede for people. It's the Holy Spirit promoting or moving us to do those things. So this story is about Philip and the Ethiopian man, and the eunuch. And so the Holy Spirit moved in the early church, but the Holy Spirit had been moving long time ago. In the Old Testament time, we find in Genesis 1:2 says that now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So this is very clear that the Holy Spirit had been present from the beginning, before the beginning of time. The Old Testament contains many stories how God had been moving and working wonderfully and in unique situations. We hear God working miracles through His Spirit and using people, specific people. And one of the greatest things that is so powerful is how God used the prophet through the Holy Spirit to give us the scriptures, and how the Word of God has come to life, how the Word of God has been fulfilled and still need to fulfill. But we have seen God fulfilling His Word from the Old Testament and the New Testament. So I'm so excited to think about that and to see that we have something great in our lives. We are privileged to have this gift from God. So so let's think at one of the other scriptures that I have in the, you can see later too, is, and you have heard Pastor Fred was mentioning about the work of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost and how the upper room, what happened there. We know the story, and Pastor David had talked to us about the Pentecost a couple months ago. And so the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped since then. The Holy Spirit was promised to the disciples and excuse me, and has working in incredible ways, and is not stopping. So we are referring to the time of this Pentecost, thinking about, and I found this commentary in a Women of Faith Bible that poses this question: how is Pentecost a dividing line in human history? The response described that the day of Pentecost is that day that the Spirit of God was manifested and was provided and was available for them and it's available for us now to all the believers in Christ Jesus. So Pentecost, probably you know, but I will say anyway, that is a Greek word, and it's, in Hebrew it's Shabbat of the or Feast of Weeks. It was a religious holiday, a feast which regularly was celebrated 50 days after Passover. So Pentecost was one of the three feasts where every Hebrew had to be present before the Lord. So what has to do with our message today? Well, my English is still working. Deuteronomy 16:16 says that three times a year, all you men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he chooses, at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. So by this, we can observe that God has prepared in advance from a long time in the past this celebration, where all Hebrews had to be present. And it happened that there were more people there. A lot of people were there, like visitors, tourists as well. So what kind of atmosphere reigned in Jerusalem before the Pentecost? The followers of Jesus were in some way expecting that the Holy Spirit will come. God promised to them before he went to heaven. He told them, I will send you another counselor. So he was the counselor that they needed there. They had been with him, and he was with them for 3 years. And he was telling them, he knew what they were going to go through. And he was preparing them. He told them, I will send another counselor. So John 16:7 said, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So advocate is another name for the Holy Spirit that he had promised to the disciples. And the Holy Spirit exists and was sent to be our ever-present help. In the Greek, advocate means paraclete, or someone called alongside to help and strength. Another word is comforter, helper. And I know all of us here, so in some way, the Holy Spirit has helped us. We have experienced the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Spirit of Truth. In John 16:13, the Spirit said that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, revealing truth and illuminating righteousness, giving us understanding of the things of God. We cannot understand the things of God without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the teachings of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us when we have put God's word in our hearts. Sometimes when we are in difficult times, the Holy Spirit reminds us of his promises, of the word that God said to us before. The Holy Spirit sanctified us and regenerate us. It's like when we became Christians, if we became Christians just by on our own, it was the Holy Spirit working in us. So even the Holy Spirit prays for us. He intercedes for us when we don't know how to ask. I don't know if you have had time when you feel like you know that you need to pray, but sometimes you sit or you kneel down and you don't know how to start praying. And you come before the Lord and the Holy Spirit just touches you and strengthens you. We find this scripture in Romans 8:26, how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So, to be comforted, to be helped, to be counseled by the Holy Spirit, to be guided, to be instructed, all of these are blessings showered unto us. And we cannot take it for granted. So how, as a church, we can pass this blessing? How we can be more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit? How we can pass this message that we have, that God has put in our lives? When the Holy Spirit is telling us, I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes God is telling me to do things, and I'm scared sometimes, and I feel like maybe it's just me thinking this, but I think the Holy Spirit telling me that there is people out there that need to hear the message of God. They need to hear the word of God. So how we can be an instrument to be used in the hands of God? Philip was an example for us of the kind of person that God is looking for. Acts chapter 6 tells us of 7 followers who were chosen to serve in the distribution of food while the other apostles were preaching the gospel. So being filled with the Holy Spirit was one of the requirements for them, even to distribute food, because people needed to be fed, the poor needed to be fed. So the Holy Spirit was one of the requirements, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Stephen and Philip were among those 7 people, those 7 men that were chosen. So after the death of Stephen, the church was persecuted and was scattered around. And Stephen went to Samaria, and he was preaching there, and he was talking to a lot of people, and he was doing amazing miracles. God was doing amazing miracles through him because he was available. And it seemed like the character of Philip is the kind of person that God is looking for. And Micah 6a, said, "He has shown you, men, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God." This brings us to the story that we just read, the story of Philip. God used Philip to minister to one person. He went to a specific place instructed by the Holy Spirit, and for a specific reason. It is so valuable to note in the story that we read that he was sent to the desert road. And there was water. How that happened? God was working there. He put water where there's no water. And the man, the eunuch, asked to be baptized. So it seemed like God wants to. He always has pleasure in doing the impossible. So what a blessing. So the Lord sent Philip from ministering a lot of people and then to one person. And then it says that he was taken suddenly to another place to keep preaching. So Philip was prepared. He knew the portion of the scripture that the eunuch was reading in Isaiah. And he was ready to explain. He was ready to give the gospel. And he took this man where he was. He knew the scripture. He was holding the scripture, but he didn't understand. So he needed someone to explain to him. And Philip was ready to talk to him, to explain. And he found a way to connect him to the knowledge that he needed Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So are we in our conversations with God listening to what he is asking? The Holy Spirit is asking you to do something. Are you ready to listen to him? Are we all ready to listen to him? The Lord delights in the salvation of people. And in this story, it doesn't say in words that he was delighted in one person, in this person, but the action, what happened there, is because God was caring for this man's heart, I mean, this man's soul. So I have a few questions to us, not to you only, but to me, to myself. Does the Lord do the same kind of wonders still? Yes. Hebrews 13:8 said that God is the same, or Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is still working. So could you like more of those wonders? God's wonders in your life and in our midst? God is looking for somebody or all people, us believers, to stand in the gap. We can be instruments of multiplication of the saving grace of God. One time when Jesus was preaching to the, teaching the disciples, and he saw the crowds, Jesus had compassion on them. And he told the disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send our workers into the harvest field. This made me think about a story. Sometimes we think that we need to pray for workers. Like God asked, Jesus said there, ask the Lord for the, we can ask the Lord for workers for the harvest. And I probably did it once or several times or many times praying for workers to collect the harvest that had already has in this world. And sometimes God is calling us to be the workers. And one time I want to tell you this story, it's long, but I will try to abbreviate it. Something that happened to me, and I would not say it to brag about it, but just to say how God had talked to me sometime, and Tony and I have experienced this together, and it was just so beautiful what God did. So in this story, I was praying for this young man. He was 18 years old. I had known him before, like a couple years before. This happened about 8 years ago. I could say another story that recently happened, but this impacted me so much, and you will see why. This man, Santi, was 18 years old, and he had muscular dystrophy. And so I found out that he was in the hospital, really sick. Seemed like he was going to die at that time. And so we know his mother, and we thought, we pray for him for healing. And I thought to myself, oh God, help him that he can be conscious that someone can come and talk to him. Remember that we were in Canada that time visiting Tony's uncle, and I just remember one night I was just praying about it, and it just felt in me that I needed to write a letter to the mother. I know they were Catholic, but I don't know how committed they were. And so I thought I will tell them. I will write to the mother and tell her about the gospel and how Santi can be prepared if he will die, to prepare to go to heaven. And so came back to the States, and they lived in Rhode Island at the time. And I was... she received the letter, and then she called us back. She called us and said, I would like you to come. And I was like, wow, this is surprisingly. I thought God will send another pastor from there in Rhode Island, and they can talk to him. So God send us to go. And we had a struggle to get there. We were using MapQuest at the time, and the sun was so shining, we couldn't see the sign. We got lost. We got an hour later at the time that we are supposed to be there. But we made it, and when we got there, the mother, we began talking to them, and the mother said, I began saying to her if they have received Jesus. And she said, I did my decision last week, but I don't know how to explain to him. He has questions, and I don't know how to lead him. And she said, and she liked to talk a lot, like me. And she said, I will leave you here with my husband, with Santi, and you talk to him, and I will get my daughter from college. And I thought it was strange that she was going to be there, but it's good because we could talk. And he had questions like, why I am in this wheelchair, why this condition is, I am in this condition, and why I haven't heard about this before. He had many questions, and he was afraid that what could happen. He had been reading the effect of the disease and how long he could live. He was just on to everything. And he was scared. Someone has given him a Bible from a vacation Bible school, and he had it in his room. And so when he had the question, we told him, probably we don't have all the answers for you, but we can tell you that Jesus loves you, and he is with you. And we gave him the gospel. We used the Evangel Cube to give him the gospel. And he received Jesus. He and his father received Jesus that day. And he said, we told him that he could start reading the book of John. And he said, and what else I can read? He was so thirsty. We told him to read the book of Psalms, that he will be able to, can find comfort there. And so we talked to him, and we thought, okay, probably we have to come back to disciple him. And so a few days later, I forgot to tell you this, that when I was in Canada, he was in the hospital, and he came back from the hospital after being very sick. He was conscious, and he went back home. That was when God let us do testify to him and bring him to the Lord. And then when after we talked to him a couple days later, he went back to the hospital. And we heard the story of him being a testimony to the people in the hospital, asking people, bring a Bible, read the Bible to me. And somebody had to run to the parking lot because they didn't have the Bible. And he was reading, they were reading to him, and he was telling the doctor that he had found something very special, and that he was fine and was going to be fine. So the glory is for God, because he's the way he works. He uses us, and he wants us to be available to him. This is the thing that impacted me so much, because 10 days after he received Jesus, he went to be with the Lord. So the day that he died, we were told that they wanted us to be there. So we wanted to go, but we were trying to find a help with our children. And I think Cindy helped us with the children, to take care of them. And so we went, and there was this house packed with people. And this is a Catholic family. They could have had the priest to come in and lead them. But they were waiting for Tony and me to be there. And there was just no way to go where they wanted us to pray. And we just got there and rushed into the living room, and they asked us that we lead the prayer there. And we just felt like God put us there to bring some peace to the all the family and the people, the friends there. And the one thing that I remember last was when we were at the funeral, the mother was close to the casket. And she came and said to me, you gave the best to my son. And she's always, always so thankful. And I just thank God for And humbly, I just thank God for letting me be his instrument. So, I know the Holy Spirit is moving here, and it's moving in our lives. But sometimes we don't understand, and for me it was like that in the beginning when I received Jesus. I didn't understand how this thing of the Holy Spirit work, how we get baptized. But maybe you know, if you don't know, this is the day that you can ask Jesus to baptize you, to sanctify you wholly, and empower you. He told the disciples, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. And so you would like to be baptized today. You would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit to continue this journey, to be able to be used by God. I invite you to come to the altar if you wish. And thank you for listening. And Pastor Ling will come with us to lead us in the prayer. So God bless you.